Entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builders Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. I am your business coach, Marty Wolf, and your host for the Business Builders Show. Joining me in the studio is my sidekick, Carrie Carney, and our producer, Tom Jenkins. Hello, Carrie, and hello, Tom.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Marty.
Hello, Marty. Hello, Carrie.
All right. We are ready to go, right? We got our hellos out of the way. Another member of our team, Dr. Tony Massari, will be offering his comments at the end of the show. As a reminder, the Business Builder Show is for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence. We deliver tips for running your business on the topics of technology, sales and marketing, finance, leadership, innovation, and personal development. We do all we can to bring the classroom to you. And Carrie, I always like bringing up what our friend says. It's like having an MBA class delivered to you every week, right? I love that.
The things perhaps an MBA class wouldn't teach you because
you
it's
go.
So current.
That's what we try to do. We try to bring the classroom to you. Now, our special guest today is Orrin Woodward, and we will be with Orrin in a few minutes. But I'd like to start today with a question for our in-studio audience and for those listening.
Uh-oh, I hate it when he puts us on the spot like this, Kerr.
Bring it on.
Are you ready? Do you have your pens and paper ready? Here's my question for you. What inspires you? What inspires you? Now, don't take too long to answer. You don't have to even answer that question just yet. I'll lead you. I believe what inspires you or me or us is a leader inspires us with their words and their actions. Would you kind of go along with that? A leader inspires us, me and you, with their words and actions. Now, let's take out of the equation, if you will, of a star baseball player as a leader, something in that vein, a rock star. Let's take that out of the thing as a leader, out of the equation, out of the discussion. Let's kind of clear our minds in terms of how we defined a leader for this brief discussion. So do I have the in-studio audience? Do I have your attention?
Yes.
My brain is flying around right now trying to...
Excellent. I thought I saw some movement there. I wasn't
smell
sure.
Smoke.
I smell smoke or something, you know? Okay. I'm going to ask this question. Is Susan Cain a leader? Now, you don't know who Susan Cain is, and some of our audience might. But Susan wrote a book called, I love this title. That's not the title of the book. Here's the title of the book. Quiet, the Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. Let me say that again. Title is Quiet, the Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. Isn't that a grabber right out of the gate?
Kind of reminds me of Karen Friedman's Shut Up and Say Something.
Yeah, there's a connection there. Actually, I wish I thought of that earlier. I would have wrote that into our plan here. But we are going to talk about our good friend Dan Pink.
Okay.
That kind of connects to this. Now, I don't know Susan, and she does not know me. I suppose since she's an author, and I believe the book is a best-selling title, I guess we could call her a leader. But how is she influencing, from that book, how is she influencing me, or is she leading me or others? I'll tell you why I think so, at least for me. This is a little personal now. Because I see the hard work that she put into that book. I saw the research, and it's really delivering a message to me. She's making it clear to me and helping me to understand my temperament and how my temperament, my particular style, can be developed so I can help others. So let's talk about introverts, extroverts, and do you remember what Dan Pink had the other classification, Carrie?
Ambiverts.
Ambiverts. And so we think we know what introverts are. We think we know what extroverts are. What's an ambivert? Can you remember how he described it?
It's a combination of the two.
It's a combination.
You know, ambidextrous. You know, you can be an introvert, and you can rise to the occasion if you have to act extroverted.
And they're called temperaments. Introvert, extrovert, and I guess now ambivert might be part of the vocabulary when you study this kind of stuff. Now, we're really... So the question that I'm asking you guys and the audience is Susan Cain a leader? Is she... Her words... And the work that she does, is she leading me? Does she lead others in the work?
Does she inspire you?
Absolutely. Well, that's a great question.
Then I would presume that she is a leader.
From the definition that we came up with?
Absolutely.
Positively. Great. Great. Because that's the definition that I came up with. Not everybody, you don't have to agree, but a leader, in my mind, inspires us with their words and actions. So I consider Susan Cain, by the way, her last name is spelled C-A-I-N. Is she a leader in my mind? Yes. Obviously, Dan Pink is, Carrie, because we've talked about him frequently.
Well, I think when you said the words and actions, that kind of resonated to me.
Right.
I would put it actions and words.
Okay.
Because some people can get people on board to follow them, which is the... meaning of a leader, someone to follow.
Right.
That actions with a quiet person get things done. Actions with an extroverted person that's not just clanging and making noise and gyrations and acting, you know, loud.
Well, that's exactly what Susan talks about, you know, the different kinds of people. So, great thought. Let me move on to another person. I'm going to call this person John S. I can't say his last name because he would be so embarrassed if he heard this. So, many years ago, I owned and worked, and let me underline the word worked, in a moving and storage business. I carried stuff. And you know, when you started out in that business, they weren't lined up waiting for you to help
move their family,
move
an
upright piano. It was kind of hard stuff then, you know? Mm-hmm. That changed, though, when John S. joined our team. Now, let me explain that. He came on board, and everything changed. And, you know, this is almost 2 decades ago. It's more than 2 decades ago. And every time I see John, every time he sees my wife or any family member, he always goes on and on about how we built that business. Now, I own the business, but let me tell you something. Who was my mentor in that business? That was John S. He taught me lessons by his actions, Carrie. Good point. By his actions, he taught me about loyalty, integrity, in having a total commitment for excellence or to excellence. So, question again, is John S. a leader?
Absolutely.
I'd say yes.
Did he inspire me?
Yes.
Absolutely he did. He inspired me so much, I still apply the lessons today. And did that make a difference in John's life? Because he always talks about it. So, Carrie got both points. Great discussion. You know, what inspires you? And our belief here on the Business Builder Show is a leader inspires us, moves us to action with their words and actions.
And sometimes it's not instantaneous, such as you. It probably took a few years with when you separated from John and got into another business entity and found out, wow, John, we really had it together.
Hey, listen, great segment. We will be right back with our guest, who is Orrin Woodward. You're listening to the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf, and it's time now to bring in our special guest, and that is Orrin Woodward. Hello, Orrin.
How you doing, Marty?
We're doing fantastic, especially now that you're here. Let me introduce Orrin. Orrin is a New York Times best-selling author of Leadership, Launching a Leadership Revolution, and numerous other books on leadership and liberty. Orrin's first solo book, Resolved, 13 Resolutions for Life, made the top 100 all-time best leadership books, and the 13 resolutions are the framework for the top-selling Mental Fitness Challenge Personal Development Program. Oren, you have been a busy dude. You are a blogger. You're an all-top selection, and your blog is on the top 100 blogs for management and leadership. That was a great introduction. I am thrilled that you're here. We have Mr. Oren Woodward. Hello again, Oren.
Thank you, Marty. I'm really looking forward to this.
Okay. Well, let's see here. First question I want to ask you is, how'd you do that? Now, what I mean by that is, you know, you were, let's see here, a manufacturing systems engineer. Now, I don't want to downplay that, Oren, but you're in a whole different life. Tell me about that change.
Well, it kind of started, I went and heard Michael Dell give a talk on the internet and how it's all about having communities and driving traffic online. And here's a billionaire, and he was talking that he didn't understand, or he said, we still haven't figured out exactly how to drive communities online.
Mm.
And so I'm listening to him. I'm thinking, now, here's a billionaire that hasn't figured out an area of the internet, and all these guys are building all these websites, et cetera, content and commerce, but they hadn't figured out community. I said, well, man, I'm a systems engineer. What if I created systems, leadership systems, and drove communities of people online?
Hmm.
And so that's just an idea. Entrepreneurs identify a need and fill it. And so I'm like, well, here's a billionaire that's saying there's a need in the market. Why don't I take some advice from him and give it a shot? And so I just became a personal development junkie. I started listening to, you name them, Stephen Covey, Zig Ziglar, all the best. I'm listening to all their CDs, reading all their books, and then just going out and speaking as much as I can. And I have to admit, being an engineer, I know I wasn't one of the better speakers getting started. But like anything in leadership, if you're willing to do it long enough, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly until you figure out how to do it well. And then over a 10-year period, I got my 10,000 hours in. And after 10,000 hours of doing anything, you better be good.
Yeah. Well, go back to that 10,000 hours thing you just said. What's the theory and the belief? And I believe it's completely true. Tell us about that 10,000 hour concept.
You bet. Well, Michael Jordan, one of my favorite basketball players, here's a good example of a guy that invested, well, more than 10,000 hours. I mean, to the point where I remember one game, he was getting booed like crazy from the opposing fans. He was at the free throw line, and he just looked up at the stand, smiled, closed his eyes, shot the free throw, and switched it. And that's the 10,000 hours. He had trained his body, his nerve endings, everything, his mind, mentally. He knew where that rim was, whether his eyes were open or not. And so many people, they want to have the success of Michael Jordan in their field, but they're not willing to invest the 10,000 hours. What made Michael Jordan great, in my opinion, was that even after he was an all-star and won his 3, 4, 5 championships, he still showed up hours early for every game and would have a minimum of an hour shoot around by himself, just someone passing the ball and him shooting from every spot, because he wanted to continue his drive for excellence. And it's shameful today where we still expect excellence from our sports. We boo if we don't see our favorite player giving 100%.
Right.
And yet so many in our society in the leadership field won't give 100%. Imagine if the kids were booing you when you came home at night if you didn't give 100%. Maybe that'd change things.
It might. And, you know, Oren, as you know, our audience is primarily entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence, which in my experience, so many of them quit early. They just quit early. And that's your advice, right?
That's it. If you, I like it, you are going to be bad. You're going to start something, and you're saying, man, I wanted to be excellent my first year. And I'm like, that's just not reasonable, because, you know, Larry Bird wasn't Larry Bird after 1 year playing basketball. Michael Jordan wasn't Michael Jordan in any other sport or any other field. I knew, getting started as an old people skills engineer, that I had a lot of work to do to develop my people skills, develop my ability to communicate. But I was willing to stay in because I understood 10,000 hours takes 10,000 hours.
There you go. It just takes that hard work. You got to keep going. So with all of that hard work, you have come to where you are now. Tell us about your existing businesses, what you do, how you do it. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, what I do now is I just mentor leaders in all different fields. They run businesses, and so I mentor entrepreneurs, which is a great show to be on. And so I sit down with them, and I hear what's going on in their business. And some of the basic things I teach is learn to keep score. It's amazing. I say, well, how's your business going? They say, oh, it's going great. And being an engineer, I say, well, show me the data.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would make you say that it's going great? There must be a scoreboard. Like a football team, it's pretty easy. If the coach says, oh, we're doing great, well, why do you say that? Well, we're 5-1 and we're average winning by 15 points a game. I'm like, all right, well, you guys are doing great, and here's how we can get better. But most people in business, they don't know how to keep score.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's just, well, my personal opinion, I'm feeling pretty good about my business. Well, if your business is how many widgets you're selling, then show me what you did last month, show me what you're doing this month, and what's projected for the month after, and learn to keep score, because if you can't keep score, then it's very hard to make adjustments. If you don't even know if you're winning or losing, how do you make adjustments?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's worth the price of admission right there, that one alone. I want to make sure everybody knows who they are listening to. We're speaking with Orrin Woodward. Orrin, I want to make sure right now, how would people connect with you? What's the best way?
My blog probably is orrinwoodwardblog.com. That's O-R-R-I-N, Woodward. blog.com.
Excellent. Anything else to add to? I kind of cut you off a little bit. I wanted to make sure people heard what, you know, or knew how to get in touch with you, I should say, after hearing that, those great insights. Anything else that I cut you off there? Any other thoughts in terms of, you know, the entrepreneurs and small business owners and what you're doing to help them?
Yeah, well, in our book, Launching Leadership Revolution, we talk about a process of, you know, a plan, do, check, and adjust. In other words, once you know the score, and if you say, you know, I'm just not good at making a presentation, or our marketing, our return on marketing is just not where it needs to be, then you start making, well, then let's say that we don't like the result now. What is our plan to change that performance? So you plan something, you do it, check the results, and make adjustments. If I could just go across America and teach business owners a couple things, get a big vision, be willing to invest the 10,000 hours like I talked about, then go do the work, judge the scoreboard, and then make a PDCA, plan, do, check, and adjust. Man, businesses would radically change. I mean, my whole life, I've built a couple hundred million dollar plus businesses, and both of them started from being absolutely terrible, but willing to stay in the game long enough to judge the scoreboard, make the adjustments necessary, and go win.
So that simple, yet that difficult.
Yes.
Yes. No one ever said it was going to be easy. So that's great. Now, we are talking about leadership, and you are definitely a leadership guru. You've kind of said it, but I'm going to ask a straight question. How would you define leadership? You're describing it, but do you have a specific definition for leadership?
You know, the simplest way is leadership is influence in a positive direction. That would be the simplest definition. So many people, they say, oh, I'm a leader, and they think, well, I've got 100 people reporting to me. I'm a leader. But here's the real question. There's many people that call themselves a leader, but if you're out, call yourself a leader, and nobody's following you,
mm-hmm.
you're only out for a walk. And there's many people that are out for a walk on their leadership because, certainly, if you're writing them a check every month or every week, they'll follow you to certain. You might get their head, but you got to get their heart. Real leadership's about people following you because they believe in your purpose, they believe in your mission, and they know that you take care of the team, that it's not about you. There's no I in team.
There's no I in team. Excellent. Great thoughts. Just go back to the plan, do, check, act, and adjust. Is that what you said? I want to make sure that that's clear because that's a little different twist.
Yes. Edward Deming's PDCA was plan, do, check, plan, do, check, act. I made the act step and I turned it into adjust because
correct.
I just felt, well, it's not just acting, it's adjusting
there
and acting. Because doing the same thing while expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. And so what the PDCA process does is say, if you're not happy with the scoreboard, change something. And there's so many people don't get this, but you're never going to change your life until you change your mind.
There you go. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back, we will resume our discussion with Orrin Woodward on the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. We'll be right back.
Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Our special guest is Orrin Woodward. And, Orrin, we're having a blast talking about leadership. I'd like to move into some area that I consider important, and it's what I call 5 leadership traits that all leaders, in my opinion, all leaders have or can learn. And I would like to go down this pathway, and I believe that authenticity is very, very important in leadership so that, in fact, you have followers. How do you feel about authenticity in terms of leadership?
Now, one of my favorite quotes is, you are born an original, don't die a copy. And there's so many people that they have, oh, man, this is my favorite guy, and I want to copy him. I'm like, man, don't copy him. Learn some of his gifts and his skills, but recognize you might have other gifts and skills different than one of your favorite speakers. So certainly I've learned from a lot of speakers, but I can't go up there. I've got some great speakers as part of our community, but I can't go up there and try to duplicate their speaking style. I've got to be myself. And I think in America right now, I think authenticity is something that's missing. I mean, you got politicians that say, well, what should I think on this subject? Go do an opinion poll. I'm like, no. What do you think on that subject? What? It's like, man, leaders, I listen to the community. I talk to, want to make sure I satisfy the customer, but you also got to have your core values, and the core values, your core principles never change. The techniques may change, but the core principles never should. And because we're losing that, you see people flip-flopping on issues and they just lose authenticity. People don't trust them anymore because they know they don't really stand for anything.
Especially in today's world, Oren, you can't fake it anymore. I mean, you can for a while, I guess, but you do get caught. I mean, with the availability of everything online, you know, you just can't fake it. You need to be authentic for people to follow you, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Yeah, you just can't hide anymore. Let's go to integrity, near and dear to all leaders' hearts, is the word integrity, which I guess is connected to authenticity. Do you have a kind of a more on that subject, though?
Yeah, you know, another one of my favorite quotes that I teach people is, people of integrity expect to be believed, and when they're not, they let time prove them right. And
wow.
There are many times in your life, especially in today's culture, I mean, you've got haters out there, you got people who are just negative on the world, you can't run for president without getting bashed, you can't lead a big company without getting bashed, but you've got to have your core values you feel so strongly about that you're going, that you're moral principles, that's your North Star.
Mm-hmm.
And you follow those principles in good times or bad, and that's when people start to follow you, when they know you're predictable, when they say, you know what, I can count on Oren, I can count on Marty to do this because I know his principles and I know he's a man of integrity and character. So I teach integrity is doing is not doing the wrong thing. In other words, if you got certain principles, like if you see someone picking on somebody else, well, I didn't pick on that person, so
yep,
I had integrity.
Yep.
But I like to take it to the next level. Did you have character? Because character gets involved. Not only does he not do the wrong thing, but he gets involved and stops Billy from picking on Mary or, you know.
Right.
You've got to, we need people more of character, even beyond integrity, to get involved and stop injustice.
Right.
You may not be unjust yourself, but if you're silent when there's injustice, then you are by definition condoning that injustice.
Character gets involved. I love that. And again, I want to mention again who we're speaking with, Oren Woodward. And point number three on my little list here I want to talk about is leaders go first. Oren, you put in the 10,000 hours. You weren't good at the beginning, right? But you went first. And that's a leadership principle in my mind. How do you feel about that?
I tell you what, leaders lead from the front line. It's like, you know, you've got a dog racing contest. If you're not the lead dog, the view's just the same.
Right.
And you've got to get to the front. It's like the team needs to know you're not in the back telling other people what to do while not doing it. You're doing it. In fact, I was sitting down mentoring a guy on Saturday, and I told him, I said, listen, I'll never ask you to do anything that I haven't done at least multiple times more.
Very
in
good.
Other words, I don't want anybody to ever think I'm telling them to do something I'm too afraid or unwilling to do myself. And that's what a leader has to do in any field. You've got to lead from the front. Don't try to manage people into your success or their success. Leaders need example.
Mm-hmm.
Followers need help.
And say
so
that
great,
again.
Be a leader.
Say that again, Oren. Say that again.
Leaders need example. Followers need help.
I love that.
I'm constantly looking for leaders because I know if I find a leader, my example, they will start modeling that example and they'll go out and win big in whatever field. Where followers constantly like, I can't do this. And it's amazing when people start buying excuses. I guarantee you the next thing you're going to do is start selling excuses.
Interesting. The next point I have is leaders help all of us make a difference, and that's really what you're talking about. And, you know, we've all heard this phrase, you don't need a title to be a leader. Boy, I think that's true. What do you think?
Absolutely. You know, a rising tide lifts all ships.
There you go.
And what a leader does is he rises the tide. The best leaders even go beyond their example. They create a culture of leadership. They create an environment where you would feel embarrassed not to do your personal best. The scoreboard's in place for the whole team. People who work and score points get rewarded. People who play as part of a team. People who lift everybody. Because we all, a true team, together everyone achieves more, understands if we lift the tide, all the ships are raised with it. And so we can't have this, you know, me, my attitude. It's got to be we. And what do we do for the team to help everybody win? And so we've got to be the leaders that lift and help everybody reach their potential in a culture of excellence.
Sometimes our audience, again, being primarily entrepreneurs and small business owners, kind of miss this because they're struggling so much and they feel so much responsibility. But the lessons that we're talking about are so important, these things we're talking about in terms of being leadership. Even if you have one person on your team, you're a leader. You're making a difference. Even if you are that manager or that team leader or whatever, if you have one person going along with you, maybe standing alongside of you, not just behind you, that's an important leadership trait and ability. And it takes work, man. This takes work, right, Arn?
I mean, tell you what, it's like you, as the leader, you're going to take the shots first. You're going to take the most criticism, but you also get the greatest reward of leadership is when you see people reach their potential. And that joy of watching people that were told they couldn't do anything. I have a mechanic today that's a multimillionaire, and he didn't make more than $50,000 his best year. And just to watch that process to where now he can speak in front of 10,000 people and just most amazing dynamic speaker you've ever seen. And here he would have been a mechanic his whole life if somebody wouldn't breathe a little bit of belief into him.
That's phenomenal. Believe it or not, Arn, we're kind of running out of time, but I want to get to the last point here. I think it's very important the leaders make sure that everybody knows why they're doing what they're doing.
It's more important than knowing how is knowing why. And that's kind of ties right in with the culture, because everybody has to align on a common principle that they have to buy into. All right, we're going to hit $1 million this month in sales, and everybody buy into that. Or if we hit this, we're going to, and everybody, when everybody rallies towards and everybody knows why we're doing what we're doing, it's a lot easier to figure out how. I would rather know why and not know how. Give me a good enough team. We'll figure out how if we know why.
That's, I think, is so strong. What great advice for our audience. That's superb. You have been listening to Arn Woodward. And again, Arn, you tell our audience the best way to get in touch with you.
You can, my blog, arnwoodwardblog.com, is the easiest way. And on that blog, I direct you all over. But I'm writing 3-4 articles a week and just sharing leadership principles to help the small business entrepreneur, because I absolutely believe that the entrepreneurs is what made America great. And we need to start lifting up the entrepreneur again.
Amen, I say to you, Arn. Thank you so much for being on the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Thank you.
We will be right back.
Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builders Show with Marty Wolf, and we're getting into our last segment. Man, everything flies by. Mm-hmm. You know, we have so much to talk about. Carrie, where I want to move, Carrie and Tom, where I want to move now is an article from Inc. Magazine, and our audience certainly knows we look at Inc. Magazine and Entrepreneur Magazine and Success Magazine and sometimes the Wall Street Journal, but I really look to these magazines for information. And a gentleman by the name of Les McKeon. How'd I do with the name, guys?
Sounds okay.
It sounds
like you hit it.
Les McKeon from Inc. Magazine wrote an article, and the title is The 20 Most Powerful Words in Business. The 20 Most Powerful Words in Business. That would get my attention if I was listening to this show. And Tom, what do you think if you're in business?
I'm ready to go.
You got me, right? Okay. The 20 most powerful words in business. What he's talking about, and I think it links well to what we've been talking about in the show, is that if your business succeeds, and it will, you keep listening, it will, eventually you're going to have people around you. You're going to have associates. You're going to have teams working with you. And as you grow, this is going to happen. And I don't want to surprise you that much, but, you know, there's all kinds of information out there that says teams or groups generally suck at making high quality decisions consistently.
Did you hit the dump button on that word? I've never said that word on
No,
air.
Because he's absolutely right.
Yes. There you go. So that should get our attention, because we do hear a lot about teams and groups and how important they are, and they are important. But what he's, the point he's making is that if you just let this kind of flow, as human beings might let it flow, you'll get generally lousy business decisions. So here's what he suggests, and this is the title of his article. The 20 most powerful words in business go like this. When working in a team or group environment, I will place the interests of the enterprise above my personal interests. So he's suggesting that we teach people this in our organizations. Let me say it again so we get the context. We're going to teach this to the people that are our associates, our people who work with, who are working in these teams. Let me say it again. When working in a team or group environment, I, a team member, I will place the interests of the enterprise above my personal interests. So that's not a trick question. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
We're going to look at the overall picture of the business itself instead of what am I getting out of it. It's what is the business getting out of it.
Correct.
Which can be very difficult at times.
Uh-huh.
Now, there are people that are driven with the I concept. Me, 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 I.
Mm-hmm.
And you usually see that in early on. And sometimes businesses will get blinded by that because, we all know about that salesman that just is selling and selling, but there is a wake of dead bodies behind that salesperson.
It's almost like, you know, there's that extrovert ideal. But go back to that. And sometimes in these group meetings, that extrovert, the loudest one, might be taking over as opposed to thinking about the best interests of the enterprise overall. And what Les is suggesting is that we can, if we teach this others, we can get them focused rather than going down our personal agendas, Carrie, like you said. Tom, you pointed that also. So here's a way to look at this. Here's what he points out. Picture a group of physicians in an operating room with the patient. Now, how do they work? Do they work as a team?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Tom, you have a puzzled look on your face.
I'm just imagining a whole bunch of physicians in an operating room.
But they're gathered around a patient, and do they have distraction?
Sure.
Well, they might, but for the most part, you're right, they may, and there's something going on, but for the most part, are they really focused on that patient?
I see the analogy now.
this person in front of you, and they have information, they're being fed, and they have to be precise, so they're very, very focused, but they're focused as a team. The person who helps put you under has a role, the surgeon has a role, someone checking your pulse, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're all a team, and they're all physicians. So what's different? So keep that in your head. But when we go to corporate America, do things change potentially? Do we have the same focus?
Usually not.
Usually not. Tom said
silo
quietly.
You know, areas will go into their own silo. And they kind of think, well, if my silo is in order, if I'm called to the table, I can give my personal agenda, not the good of the enterprise, my personal agenda.
There you go. See, and that's the analysis. And so if we're looking at the whole enterprise as opposed to our silo, Carrie, using your phrase, and that's a good thought process. And who's the patient in this case?
The enterprise.
The patient is the enterprise. The patient is the business. So how are we working as a team?
And could you take that a step further?
Absolutely.
The patient is the client.
You know what? It's not in this article, Carrie, but yeah.
Are you servicing the client's best needs, or are you servicing the enterprise's best needs?
I would see them together.
Right.
You know, if I had that on a piece of paper, I'd have enterprise or company and I have client right next to each other.
Right.
And as we are working on this patient / enterprise / customer, we would be thinking in a certain way other than our own personal agenda. So, Carrie, go on.
Real quick
go
one
ahead,
on that.
Take your time.
Think of the Netflix debacle. when they wanted to raise the price and charge one group of users a higher price and then the other, that was certainly servicing the enterprise to drive more profits. But the customers reacted that they did away with that idea very quickly. So I think that enterprise customer is joined at the hip.
But Netflix has come back, I think. I think they're strong now. I'm not sure. But
the clients demanded they weren't going to allow that.
That's the point. Yeah, they left, but they demanded that they come back. So, you know, I think this is a great, as we build our businesses, which is what we're all about, is helping you build your business. You're going to provide leadership. You're going to have teams. And Les McCann from Inc. Magazine suggests that we say, when working in a team or group environment, I will put the interest of the enterprise above my personal interests.
Put the professional principles over the personalities.
Excellent. Another great, great way of saying it, Tom. So, I think we're ready for our commentary with Dr. Tony Massari.
Hi, I'm Tony Massari with a thought about leadership. During his conversation with Marty, Orrin Woodward demonstrated his ability to define leadership with catchy sentences. Here are a few examples. Leadership is influence in a positive direction. To be a leader, you must get their heart. Leaders lead from the front. Leaders help all of us make a difference. The best leaders create a culture of leadership. Leaders know there is no I in team. Leaders plan, do, check, and adjust. Leaders breathe belief in followers. Marty summarized his beliefs about leadership with these traits. Leaders are authentic. They are people of integrity who go first, help us make a difference, and make sure everyone knows the why. One of our founders, Benjamin Franklin, put it another way. If you would not be forgotten as soon as you are dead and rotten, either write things worth reading or do things worth writing. Dwight David Eisenhower said it another way. You don't lead by hitting people over the head. That's assault, not leadership. For Marty Wolf and the Business Builder Show, I'm Tony Massari with America at its best.
Thank you again for being part of the Business Builder Show with me, your business coach, Marty Wolf. Thank you, Orrin Woodward, for being our special guest, and Dr. Tony Massari for another excellent commentary. Carrie and Tom, as always, thanks for your help and support.
Thank you.
Very welcome. Thank you.
I gave you a real test today. You're really on your toes today. I'd like to remind you of a business development program I am enthusiastically endorsing. It's called A Year of Business Success. This is a 52-week subscription where you'll get a short video, a lesson plan, and an action plan that will help you transform your business. You know, you don't have time to read all the books you should, listen to all the video, or watch the videos, or listen to the all that kind of stuff. You don't have time. So there's a faculty that is delivering something called A Year of Business Success. Go to our website to learn more about that. That's MartyWolfBusinessSolutions.com. MartyWolfBusinessSolutions.com to learn about A Year of Business Success. Next week, our special guest will be Brad Hams. Brad is on a mission to eradicate entitlement. Fascinating interview. You can find our shows archived at BusinessBuildersGlobal.com. We do our best on the Business Builder Show so you can do your best. We look forward to being with you next week on the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.